it's right here. When my baby's on the corner and she's looking so fine, put one and one together and it blew my mind. A man needs love to live, I'm the living proof. Catch that smile and I have the groove. Beat, double take, punch, keep on walking. I'm in love. Once over, I'm overdone. This is love. Ooh, I need your loving. Come on, baby, take me home. This is love. Ooh, I need your loving. I'm just getting bald. Going out my way, no more way around. The grass is never greener and there's plenty on around. All the other girls, they've been put to shame. Over the edge and here I stay. Got me all pins and needles. And she knows she's mine and ain't letting go. So this is love. Do I need your love? Baby, take me home. So this is love. Do I need your loving? I know.
In the morning, Monday, September 14th, almost halfway through the month. Time flies when you're on house arrest. Take it from me. We're going to start the Monday off right with some rock and roll. I almost said the F word right there. Rock and roll. Rock and F and roll. Right out of the chute. Oh, I'm sure it'll be cutting it loose tonight, this morning. Hope you all had a good weekend, busy weekend. Some good news from our weekend here. Last weekend I was bitching about not being able to see our nephews playing football because only one parent was allowed to go to the game type thing. They had to like sign a release. You guys are familiar with that, what I was talking about. Well, parents and grandparents decided to crash the league. They are not having any of that nonsense, believe me. So that was good. The games were packed and no one is listening to these state and league overlords telling people who they can and cannot support. And very few people were wearing masks, which is also a good sign. So expect more people will be at these games as time moves on. And that's a positive thing in Pennsylvania with these dummies running sports leagues into the ground. Some leagues aren't even playing. My old youth football team's not even playing. So, a positive sign for sure. People have had enough of this bullshit. That's what it tells me. People have had enough of the bullshit and they're going to do what they want to do and get the hell out of their way. And that's the way it should be. That's what I've been preaching on here. A lot of people have been asking me, what are we supposed to do out here? You know, you have a lot of advice. Or a lot of intel, but you don't give a lot of solutions. Just don't put up with it. That's the best solution. Remember these idiots saying, oh, I need to resist. Well, you do. Not like these idiots marching around the street with spray cans and stuff, skinny jeans. Just don't listen to these people. What are they going to do? If everybody doesn't listen, what are they going to do? Seriously. Nothing. They're going to do nothing. That's exactly what happened on Saturday and Sunday at football games down here. They can do nothing if everyone says, you know what, we've had enough. We're done listening to you idiots, you flunkies, okay? So that's my advice. Resist for real. And don't take no for an answer. Say, I'm not doing it. It's not happening. Stop fucking pushing me around or there's going to be trouble. And they'll buckle. These people are butter sticks and pipe stemmers. They're going to jump bad with you, at least in my experience. So I hope you had a good weekend. Here we're kicking off the week, another busy news week. And who else is just sick and tired of all the news? Got retweeted by Trump this morning, President Trump. So that was good on our Drudge story. We'll take retweets by the president. Sure. Of course we will. Especially our size and the number of folks we have here. Take another feather in our cap, and I know it drives the beautiful people in the right-wing media nuts. So it's a win-win. So we appreciate that, and we appreciate the folks on Patreon.com/TruePundit. Patreon.com is the place, along with Subscribestar.com/TruePundit, where subscribers are. They get the Pain in the Morning podcast on video. And the More Pain show on Tuesday nights, the Pain After Dark on Saturday nights or Friday nights. We went Saturday night this week. That's a program that we're building. We may be rolling out another program. Not rolling out. Rolling out. It's been a long weekend in the yard. As you can see, I had a bout with poison ivy. I got into some poison ivy and some poison sumac. I don't have it broken out all over my face or anything like that, but the beard had to go. I got in too deep and it was just a mess. So I said, well, we'll take it off so my face doesn't break out and stuff. So it'll grow back, but you guys can just call me Babyface for the next week. I went down to see one of my nephews plays D1 football. I was down at his place today, and he said, Uncle Mike, you look ridiculous without the beard. I said, thanks a lot, kid. Thanks a lot for building my self-esteem. He said, get the beard back as soon as possible. I'm like, all right, but you know what, though? It's all right. It's all right. I'll live. I'll make it back. The beard will make it come back, just like we hope everybody else out there who's breaking their ass makes a comeback, too, so. We appreciate the support on those platforms. If you have a couple bucks to throw away, we will stretch it out and use it to the max for sure, because we're not supported by millionaires and billionaires. Let's get kicking right away. A busy news week, I anticipate, is ahead. A full news week. Last week, we only had 4 days because of the holiday, and I think people are still in kind of like a haze. Well, you know, it's challenging with the schools now, with the school kids. It's no joke for parents out there. It really isn't. All right, let's get rocking and rolling here. As you can imagine, this is going to be the Hallmark Channel tonight with a lot of feel-good news. But we have to play it like it is when represent what's going on. So, first headline, Compton ambush leaves two L.A. County sheriff deputies fighting for their lives. I'm sure some of you have read this story and seen the video. It's fucking, there it is. 10 minutes in. It's problematic. Okay? It's problematic. The video, obviously. What do we have for that? About the scene of the crime by Rat. We are off and running for the week. Another long week of podcasts and news, and that's fine with us. That's the business we want to be in. A manhunt was underway in California early Sunday after two Los Angeles County Sheriff deputies were shot in their patrol car Saturday by a suspect who opened fire without any warning or provocation. Deputies 24-year-old man and a 31-year-old woman who were both in critical condition and fighting for their lives. They underwent surgery following the attack. I heard before I turned the mics on that they've been out of surgery. They're still in critical condition, but they're out of surgery. Well, that's a bonus, right? Still fighting for their lives as they underwent surgery, probably a number of surgeries following the attack, which occurred around 7 p.m. local time on the West Coast, outside a Metro Rail station in Compton, according to the Los Angeles County Sheriff's Department. Moments ago, two of our sheriff deputies were shot in Compton and were transported to a local hospital, the department tweeted. They are both still fighting for their lives, so please keep them in your thoughts and prayers. The video, somebody just rolls up to the car, is like, hey, how you doing? Bang, 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 and then they run away. What the fuck? President Trump, who held a rally in Nevada on Saturday, responded on Twitter after the sheriff's department tweeted out a grainy video that shows the suspect approaching the park patrol vehicle, firing shots inside the vehicle's passenger side window. Animals that must be hit hard, Trump tweeted, referring to criminals who target law enforcement. I saw his tweet last time. I'm like, what is he talking about? Animals. I watch an Animal Planet. What's happening here? And then I said, whoa, I watched the video. I was like, oh my God. That was right before we did the Pain After Dark show, I think. Maybe it was after. I can't recall. But both deputies were sworn in just over a year ago. And the female deputy is a mother of a 6-year-old boy. Both of their families were rallying around them at the hospital. Sheriff Alex Villanueva said while authorities don't have a detailed suspect description, one of the deputies described the shooter as a dark-skinned male. Villanueva said the shooting seemed to follow a growing trend of suspects opening fire on law enforcement without provocation. Every week across the nation, someone is losing their life in the line of duty, he added. It pisses me off. It dismays me at the same time. There's no pretty way to say it. Well, considering the circumstances, I think he was pretty diplomatic with what he said. So we go right back to the second part of the story, which is even stranger and likewise egregious and alarming as Americans. And then not only as Americans, but as human beings, okay? As human beings. Human beings. It transcends compassion and humanity. Protesters show up at the L.A. hospital that was treating the ambushed cops and yell at a rally, like an impromptu rally, I hope they fucking die. Let's go to Rob Zombie. The great American nightmare. That's what these people are. They are the great American nightmare. These street urchins and vagabonds and vagrants and gutter snipes. Sewer rats is what they are. It's unbelievable. Protesters reportedly shouting slogans like death to the police showed up at the Los Angeles area hospital treating two law enforcement officials who were ambushed and shot on Saturday. Actually, officers, not officials. They blocked the entrance to the emergency room as well. What the hell is going on here? To the protesters blocking the entrance and exit of the hospital emergency room yelling, we hope they die, referring to two L.A. sheriffs ambushed in Compton. Do not block emergency entries and exits to the hospital. People's lives are at stake when ambulances can't get through, the L.A. County Sheriff's Department wrote on Twitter early Sunday morning. A local faith leader who was at the hospital told KABC reporter that the protesters tried to get into the emergency room. And what were they going to do? Fuck is the matter with these people? Well, we know. These people are insane. scum queens is what they are, male and female. They were saying death of the police and kill the police, and these are sheriffs, but the message is still the same. They were using all types of curse words and derogatory terms, he told KABC. Unacceptable behavior, because a hospital should be a sanctuary. These guys aren't afraid to get COVID at the hospital, are they? I mean, think about this. You can't go to a bar or a restaurant and eat, but you can go create riots in the street and storm a hospital, and nothing happens to these people. But if you don't wear a mask in LA, you get locked up or fined. But it's okay to storm a hospital, call for the death of police officers like a bunch of radical maniacs in the Middle East, right? This is insane. But if you don't wear your mask or stay 6 feet apart from your guy next to you or your woman next to you while you're walking the dog in LA, Hondo from SWAT is going to hogtie you. Video posted online showed protesters being prevented from walking farther onto hospital grounds and arguing with hospital security over whether the hospital is public or private property. Yeah, all the street vagrants and vagabonds are sidewalk attorneys when the chips are down. The problem here is that they should need an attorney. Instead, they're acting as their own attorney. Protesters could be heard shouting at one officer who appeared to point some sort of weapon at the protesters. That's why you're dying one by one, you stupid fuck, a man can be heard saying. Y'all gonna die one by one. This ain't gonna stop. You're next with the fucking hot pocket, a man shouted. Fucking hot pocket? You offering the guy a meal? What? I want to deliver a message to the family of the inaudible. I hope they fucking die, a man yelled. Yeah. These are the street urchins, folks. These are the street urchins. Unbelievable. Unbelievable. And in a related story, right before I turned the mic on, I saw that there were riots in Lancaster, Pennsylvania. Home of the Amish. There's been a state police shooting there, supposedly. I just caught the tail end of it, and I was texting back and forth with some guys I know in Harrisburg with law enforcement contacts who said their information so far is that it was a legitimate shooting. Somebody got shot, and all hell broke loose, so keep an eye on Lancaster. It doesn't matter where you're at. It's mayhem. But we'll see if that information checks out. It's preliminary information from some inside people. But they're very well connected. You would think that I would have good contacts in Pennsylvania, and I do, for obvious reasons. I live here. So let's keep an eye on that, too. I mean, Lancaster, California, it doesn't matter. There's no limit to this insanity. There is no limit to the insanity. And the sideshow. This stuff is all a sideshow, by the way. The fact that we're all locked up and bleeding financially. There's very few people I know that are not bleeding financially. Very few. And I guess maybe I don't know enough rich people. Jeez, maybe I got to get on the stick. Get out and mingle a little more. But we're all, many of us, just hanging in there, hanging on. With the school situation and the kids and unemployment, food. I had a tweet over the weekend saying, yeah, oh, I bet you all the people that are hungry out there are really impressed by this push for peace in the Middle East. Sets off a lot of people, right? But it's like a legitimate question, right? United States first. Can we worry about ourselves first for a change? I think it's great, the Middle East and stuff. That's great. But how does that put food on my table? How does that put food on your table? This is what I'm saying. Like, let's handle the basics first. Right? Handle the fundamentals, and then we can work on the other stuff. That's just me, though. I'm just a simple guy, I guess. Headline, four arrested for arson as Democrats blame wildfires on global warming. You know, you can't even make it up. I'll tell you in a minute. We did a story. Well, it doesn't matter. Every time we do a story that a fire, wildfire, is not like we did about wildfires in Australia, we're not a result of global warming, and everybody went nuts. Facebook, like, tried to ban us. It's like, we picked up the story from somewhere, I don't know, Zero Hedge or Breitbart, and they're like, fake news, obviously. And it's like, you guys are crazy. Then they hire some fact checker, some guy who's smoking a bong all day, and he's a quote-unquote fact checker. Yeah, okay, pal, let's check your blood alcohol level. I got some fact checking for you. Piss in this cup, pal. Let's see what you've been fact checking. Anyway, they get all crazy. Every wildfire is about global warming. Now this video out, and there's people are setting the fires. A lot of Antifa types. Skinny jean guys. Guys in backpacks roaming around the woods. Who are they looking for? The fucking Unabomber? I don't think so. Four arrested for arson. What do we have for that? About something from Earth, Wind, and Fire. It's September, right? We're talking about Earth, Wind, and Fire. How about September? From Earth, Wind, and Fire. See how we did that? Getting a little crazy. The fires that we started in the woods. Four individuals, two in Washington, one in Oregon, and another in California. What is this, a new boy band? Have been arrested for arson as firefighters battled dozens of blazes across the West Coast. One of the arrestees is reportedly a regular attendee of anti-police rallies in Seattle. Anti-police rallies. In other words, he's a gutter snipe. Michael Jared Bakela, 41, has been accused of arson, partially sparking the massive Alameda fire, according to the Oregon State Fire Marshal's Office. Oregon Live reported that he's been arrested on two counts of arson, 15 counts of criminal mischief, and 14 counts of reckless endangerment. I guess in Oregon, he'll probably be out of jail in 10 minutes. Seems like a pretty good guy. Cut him loose. Give him his backpack and gasoline, too. He promised not to set any more fires. Oh, he did? That's right. We had a talk. The fucking bathroom is on fire, Sergeant. Oh, shit. Lock him up. This guy's a problem. The Alameda fire has destroyed at least 700 homes, resulted in at least two fatalities. This is heavy shit. Elsewhere, authorities arrested two individuals in connection with the fires in Washington. One of the suspects, Jeffrey Allen Accord, has been accused of setting a fire along Highway 167. He live-streamed himself on the scene of the fire and reported it to police, claiming that he literally pulled over to call it in right after he fucking set it on fire. Yeah, is that global warming? If you set a fire and then you call it in, is that global warming? Other drivers, however, told police they watched the 36-year-old vagrant. Whoops. I threw that part in. 36-year-old walk into a field carrying a lighter and cardboard. He burned his "We'll work for food" sign. The outlet added that Accord is a regular attendee at Seattle defund police rallies. This is probably another one of these street varmints from the Summer of Love in Seattle when they took over six blocks. What was the name of those people? He's also facing charges for allegedly breaking into a gas station. This son of a bitch couldn't even buy his own gas. What a cheap bastard. Jacob Altona, 28, has been arrested in connection to arson. Additionally, Anita Esquivel, 37, has been arrested for deliberately setting fires in California. News comes as Democrat politicians continue to blame the fires across the region on climate change. Yeah, the climate change is that they let a lot of arsonists fucking run wild. That's the climate change. Politicians such as Senator, I sold out my constituents for a lake house, Bernie Sanders, are largely using the devastation to push for a Green New Deal, but continue to ignore the reality of poor forest management and environmentalist policies that contribute to the massive wildfires, such as putting the emphasis on fire suppression rather than prescribed burning. Let's see, we had the story continues. Since these guys are out in the woods, we'll play. Out in the street, we'll go to Bruce. The debate is over around climate change. Just come off to the state of California. Observe it with your own eyes. Oh, let's go back a little bit. I got ahead of myself. Despite these facts, Governor Eddie Munsterhair Newsom, California, has used the tragedy to declare the debate around climate change over for good. Was he Al Gore? Remember Al Gore?
The debate is over. The debate is over. Okay.
Put some pants on, Al. Newsom said the debate is over around climate change. Just come to the state of California. Observe it with your own eyes. Yeah, I'll be there as soon as I can get a fire coat and an oxygen tank and a mask. It's not an intellectual debate. It's not even debatable. Yeah, because your state's on fire. So the climate change is that it's now not, it's no longer end of summer, pre-fall. It's gates of hell. That's the climate change. Fucking dummy. When Newsom's out on the street, I give Newsom credit for showing up anywhere near an open flame with that shit in his hair. He could have been looking like Michael Jackson in the Pepsi commercial and make that look like a church picnic. Fucking campfire. When I'm out in the street. Yeah, climate change. Yeah, Newsom, that's what it is, buddy. It's not the people that have been arrested for lighting fires. Unbelievable. When he's out in the street, he combs his hair with a pork chop. Headline. Mueller. Team members wipe their cell phones and DOJ records show. Wow, what a big surprise. Do as I say, not as I do.
Wipe out.
Time for a short drink. Data from more than 25 government-issued phones used by members of the special counsel's team was wiped or deleted during the course of the Trump-Russia probe, according to Justice Department records released on Thursday. Talk about a wipeout. True Pundit, 33 months ago, I wrote a story. 33 months, not 3 months, not 3 weeks, not 3 days. Not 30 days, not 33 days, 33 months. That's almost 3 years for you folks who are English majors out there, journalism majors, who struggle with math. 33 months ago, I wrote a story saying the FBI and Justice Department officials implicated in this whole disaster were now using burner phones to communicate. 33 months ago. At the same time, 33 months ago. That would be January 2018. It's almost January 2021. We wrote a story talking about communications that had vanished, text communications and other communications that had vanished between FBI officials, both publicly and privately on their phones, where they were discussing a physical coup against Trump, harming him. Of course, those never saw the light of day, and now we're finding out that these phones were wiped. But we were on this 33 months ago. Put that in your hat, Barr. I mean, it's insane. Let's go to the fix. How much is enough? And guess what? This is fixed, so we're playing the fix. Several prosecutors on the special counsel's team claim they accidentally wiped their devices by entering incorrect passwords too many times. Others said they intentionally deleted data from their phones. Andrew Wiseman, a top deputy on the special counsel's team, wiped his phone twice.
You mean like wipe it with a cloth?
According to the documents, which were released in response to a Freedom of Information Act lawsuit by Judicial Watch. It took them a while to get the records. Usually after we break good stories, Tom Fitton goes to work and starts filing lawsuits. Time and time again. If I did a spreadsheet of how many stories we broke and then months later it comes out from Judicial Watch, I know he's an avid reader and listener. I see all when it comes to national intelligence reporting. Weissman entered password too many times and wiped his phone on March 8, 2018. The Justice Department spreadsheet says he claimed to have accidentally wiped his phone on September 27, 2018. Uh-huh. Is anybody surprised by this? This goes on and on and on. There's a whole bunch of people. So, in the matter of good taste and beating a dead horse, the full story is on True Pundit, with links to the full story in the Pain in the Morning section for Monday, 14th. Many of you are already up on this, and you can read more details on this yet another DOJ FBI travesty. I don't want to waste any more time on it. As I said, I'm tired of covering these FBI stories and DOJ stories. Every time I want to get out, cover something else, they pull me back in. It's like the mafia. The fix, though, how appropriate. It's all fixed. Headline, Rochester officers cover names. They cover their own names up after protesters shout their addresses and their kids' names and make taunting calls to parents in front of them. What's this about? This is a little bit crazy. How about you really got me? If they really got you, if they really know you, they really got you. Van Halen and then maybe a little Kinks. Rochester police officers have been given permission to cover up their name tags to avoid harassment from left-wing protesters who are screaming out their home addresses, kids' names, and schools, and making taunting calls to their parents in front of them. They're also spreading personal information about the cops via social media. Is this protected under the First Amendment? What's going on in Rochester? Past couple months, officers' names have been researched by protesters to put personal information out to the public, putting the safety of the families in jeopardy, said a statement from RPD Chief LaRon Singletary, who announced his resignation earlier this week. L. Ron is L. gone.
Yeah. It's a really bad situation. I'm fucking out of here, by the way. I'm not going to worry about this bullshit anymore. Some other asshole's problem. There's a leader. When the going gets tough, L. Ron gets going. Should be L. Run, R-U-N. Local radio show host and journalist Bob Lunsberry posted via Twitter on Thursday, peaceful protesters have stood outside the Rochester Public Safety Building, read an officer's name off his uniform, tracked him down on their phones, and called his parents to taunt them, or held up the phone to show the officer his home address and threatened to come after him there. I'm no constitutional lawyer. I do think that is a not a protected free speech. To threaten law enforcement officials. Where's our constitutional lawyers? Can we check in with them? They're too busy tweeting. These guys ever see the inside of a fucking courtroom, or do they just tweet? WHAM 1180 reported Thursday on the actions from the protesters, noting that the deputy chief, Morabito, says he has seen this harassment happen in real time. City council members questioning why Rochester police officers covered their names up and sometimes their badge numbers at the series of nightly protests were told it was for the officers' protection. Chief Singletary, before he announced his resignation, says protesters are Googling officer names, spreading information about them and their families on social media. What a fucking mess. Total mess. Disgrace. What's going on out there? Or are you too busy arresting people for not wearing a mask? Okay, but you can threaten cops. Cool. It's nice to know. All you criminals out there, get your Greyhound tickets to Rochester. It's open season. Law and order. Google Geofence, new headline. Google Geofence warrants keep locking up innocent people who were in proximity of a crime scene. If you don't know about geofence warrants, buckle up. What do we got for this? Go back to Bruce. Cover me, right? Bruce, we love you. People love Bruce's music. You can't argue with it. Can't argue with Bruce. I make fun of him, poke fun at him, but people love his music. An incredibly scary and Orwellian tool in the local police arsenal known as a geofence warrant. Described at the time, it's essentially a virtual dragnet over crime scenes where police request to sweep up Google location data drawn from users' GPS, Bluetooth, Wi-Fi, and cellular connections from everyone who happened to be near a crime scene. From this blanket of surveillance, law enforcement then try to figure out which phones may be tied to suspects or possible witnesses. Let me give you an example. After the Las Vegas shooting, whatever the hell it was, where 500 were gunned down and 57 died, including the alleged shooter. I contacted a law enforcement contact in Vegas, and I was talking to him. So I used to work out there for Steve Wynn. It was casinos. When I was a contractor, my group did a lot of intel for Wynn. And I said, hey, what do you got on this? He said, I'll send you something. I was like, okay, cool. You know? So I get this correspondence. I'm like, what the hell is all this? I called him back. I said, what is all this stuff? It was like a spreadsheet. He's like, that's everybody who was around the scene of the shooting. I said, how the hell did you get this? He said, don't worry about it. And everybody's data. He's like, now you can talk to as many people as you want. This is the same list that, Las Vegas Metro PD and the same list that FBI are using. It's like insane. I said, this is crazy. I mean, I know this was possible, but I didn't expect to get it in my hands.
small example. Already, this type of blanket surveillance warrant, which works as a kind of guilt by proximity at the time of a crime occurred, has been used by police to arrest what turned out to be innocent bystanders who were suddenly surprised to find themselves prime suspects. It's also been used by dozens of times in some states, but will likely only increase alongside similar pre-crime algorithm technologies. In one instance, earlier this year, a Gainesville, Florida man was caught up in a legal nightmare because he merely rode his bicycle unbeknownst near a home burglary at the same time it happened. And it was in 2018, for the first time, that a man had been falsely accused and arrested based on a controversial geofence warrant for the crime of murder. The details of that prior alarming case are presented by Wired as follows. In 2008, 23-year-old Jorge Molina was arrested and jailed for 6 days on suspicion of killing another man. This is what happens when you don't log out of your Gmail, folks. They are following everywhere you go. These people are, you think you're out running with your friends. You're really running with the devil. Police in Avondale, Arizona, about 20 miles from Phoenix, held Molina for questioning. According to a police report, officers told him they knew 100% without a doubt his phone was at the scene of the murder based on data from Google. Well, I mean, if these fucking geeks at Google said he's guilty, they must be guilty. These guys don't make mistakes, okay? They never got laid. They're very thorough. They don't shower much, but they are thorough. In fact, Molina wasn't even there. He simply lent an old phone to a man police later arrested. The phone was still signed into his Google account. See what I told you? The information about Molina's phone came from a geofence warrant. A relatively new and increasingly popular yet very dangerous investigative technique police use to track suspects' locations. Traditionally, police identify a suspect, then issue a warrant to search the person's home or belongings. So when they kick the door in, folks. Here's more from local reporting at the time of just how police came to arrest the wrong man, all the while ensuring him they knew he did it because the geeks at Google implicated him. I told Jorge that we knew 100% without a doubt that his phone was at the shooting scene, the police report on Knight's murder states. Jorge gasped and said, "What? This feels like a freaking nightmare." Molina began to cry, saying, "Oh my God, this is insane." As it turns out, police did not know 100% without a doubt that his phone was at the shooting scene. He had lost his job, his car, and his reputation suffered irreparable damage as a result of the publicity to the follow, not to mention having to rot 6 days in jail when the only evidence was Google data. This is fucking dangerous. These geeks have gone out of control. The case later fell apart and the police finally caught the real killer. I hope this guy lawyered up. Yeah, okay, he did. In early 2000, Molina sued the city police, specific officers that arrested him, as well as the chief of police. He also reportedly now is suing Google for $1.5 million. These fucking guys are dangerous with their warrants and shit. They really are. Using these idiots at Google. Who think they're overlords. Literally, lords. They think they're gods. Sat with Zach Voorhees. You know what I'm going to do with Zach Voorhees? Work for Google. Top programmer. Whistleblower. I think I only released maybe like 40 minutes of his interview. I did with him in half an hour. Maybe 40 minutes previously. I'm going to dig that up and release it as a special podcast for you guys. We'll put it on patreon.com/truepundit and subscribestar.com/truepundit for subscribers. It was a video podcast. I went down, I interviewed him in DC when he was coming out against Google. Actually, before he did, I interviewed him and I promised not to publish the story until he wanted to go public. I'll put that back out so you can listen to the atrocities these geeks do behind the scenes. It's fucking alarming. So you get a better understanding of what's going on. And I've heard him do some interviews, but I listened to mine. I said, this interview's better. I don't know. Maybe he's more at ease with me, or I asked the right questions. I don't know. But the interview with me seems better than the ones I've seen him on other shows. Maybe because I don't rush people. I let them talk, you know, and I don't try to talk over people. I just let them talk. I want to hear what they have to say. Nobody wants to hear what I have to say. You can hear what I have to say every day. I don't have to try to pretend that I'm smart to the people I interview. Let them talk. That's how we get the story. Headline. These rich white kids were arrested for rioting. Here's a look at the violent revolutionary strategy. Yeah. The rich white kids who are down, who are woke with the Black Lives Matter protests. If you're their parents, you've done a hell of a job with these idiots. Great job. Producing, manufacturing, and brainwashing more assholes in American society. Just what we need. When we had reached our threshold of assholes, here come a whole new crop of assholes. And I said this before, and I mean it. As a rule of thumb, there's nothing worse. Now, there are exceptions, I'll say this, but there's nothing worse than rich kids. Look at Andrew Cuomo. Look at his brother. Look at these kids. Talk about privilege, right? There's nothing worse than kids of rich people who think that they're better than everybody else because they've fucking done absolutely nothing to earn it. Talk about privilege. I grew up in shitty neighborhoods. So I always looked at these people like as lost sheep, like completely lost. And guess what? Nothing has changed. They still are lost. Rich white people. Rich kids. Take a drink. You can rely on the old man's money. You can rely on the old man's money. It's a bitch, girl, but it's gone too far, 'cause you know it don't matter anyway. Say money, money won't get you too far, get you too far. Meet Clara Kraber, who was arrested for felony rioting and misdemeanor possession of graffiti instruments after being identified as one of the people causing more than $100,000 worth of damage during an early September window smashing spree. Kraber, who's 20, is a history major at Rice University in Houston. That's in Texas for people that may not know. She's the daughter of an architect and a child psychologist and comes from a family so wealthy that they own a $1.8 million co-op with river views on the Upper East Side of Manhattan, as well as a country home built in the 1730s in exclusive Litchfield County, Connecticut.
Oh, yes. How have you heard from Clara? How is she doing at Rice? What? They're making fun of her. They're calling her white on rice? This is preposterous. I must talk to the provincial's office. We will not tolerate this type of reverse discrimination. Lovey, you have the dean call me at the summer house, will you?
Kraber's mother, Virginia Kindred, runs Kindred Archworks, a Manhattan architect firm that has designed spaces for Columbia University and NYU. What a surprise. We'll go to Aerosmith, Eat the Rich. Yeah, let's trace it up. We'll come back to that maybe. How about some Trace Atkins, Hillbilly Rich?
Hillbilly, how dare you? My father fought for the Union against the South. You cretin.
Kraber's mother, Virginia, also worked on numerous school and business bases throughout the city. Her father is Marcus.
Her father's Marcus Kraber, an East Side child and adolescent psychiatrist who teaches at Columbia University's Department of Psychiatry. Hello, love it. Hello. Clara, this is your dad calling. We just want to check on you and make sure everything's fine, that you get the wire transfer.
She seems to be a prime example of a person who drank the Kool-Aid of the kind of misguided indoctrination many young people are facing right now. What police found in her belongings?
It's alleged! How dare you talk about our daughter? How dare you?
When Kraber was arrested, police found dozens of handwritten pages of plans to redistribute wealth and what she called a revolutionary strategy that appears to have been inspired by Soviet dictator Joseph Stalin, whose totalitarian government has been widely condemned for overseeing mass repressions, ethnic cleansing, deportation, hundreds of thousands of executions, and families that killed millions of communist revolutionaries, including Leon Trotsky.
Did somebody say ethnic cleansing? Do you realize, excuse me, sir. Excuse me, my good man. Do you realize how hard it is to find a cleaning person in Connecticut, Manhattan, on the East Side? Don't talk to me about ethnic cleansing. All we can find are Mexicans. How dare you preach to me about ethnic cleansing?
You know that's fucking funny. In her notes, Kraber pointed to the huge number of empty units in white flight apartments, new luxury buildings that all include the instruction of study tactics of clearing buildings. Jesus. These are repeated references to scouts to find vacant apartments and locksmiths to help break in, as well as the need for a prep for SWAT-style eviction efforts through the use of movable barricades and bricks on roofs as weapons, sources said. A page titled Revolutionary Strategy includes notes that say Stalin defend USSR at all costs and Trotsky united front of all working class, but don't let the capitalists in, sources said. This is fucking crazy. These guys are hillbilly rich.
I will sue you, sir. How dare you besmirch my reputation at the club? Stricken that man from the yacht club. He will not be invited to brunch or the buffet.
Let's go to... You want to talk about rich? How about big and rich? Coming to your city. This could be coming to a city near you or your city.
We're coming to your city. If you're not rich, it won't be pretty. Yes. I'm going to launch my career as a rap star. My barbershop quartet's called the Lobster Bibs.
Jesus Christ, this is insane. I like stories like this. There are repeated references in the materials recovered from the suspect to the Spanish Civil War, including an assertion that the failure of the Spanish Revolution in 1936 was a failure of leadership. Some think actual revolution will be led by a more deliberate leadership, Kraber wrote. Kraber also followed the protests over the police killing of George Floyd, writing, Minneapolis, lots of spontaneous radical energy, but no leadership.
I say it's because it wasn't a good buffet. There wasn't a good street sign buffet. These people, these radicals need caviar, lobster. Lobster thermidor for all the cretins, I say. That really gets them fired up.
Her notes contain multiple mentions of Abolition Park, which refers to anti-cop encampment that activists set up outside City Hall during the recent battle to defund NYPD, which resulted in a total of $1.5 billion in cuts in its operating and capital budgets. All cops are bad because they work for a system that thrives off the oppression of marginalized communities, she wrote. Asking what about good cops? It's like asking about the good slave masters, according to the Abolition Park website. The fuck is going on here? That's what I want to know.
Watch your mouth, sir. There's no place for vulgarity.
She wasn't the only wealthy kid who was arrested. What a surprise. You see these people in the street? $300 jeans, $200 shoes, $5,000, $6,000, $7,000 watches. You think they're oppressed?
Did you say the jeans weren't pressed? I will talk to my cleaner. I will talk to my Korean Asian dry cleaner. There will be. You want to talk about reparations? There will be reparations. They will taste the back end of a business whip.
No, we said oppressed, not pressed jeans.
My mistake, my good man.
Some of Kraber's comrades also come from privileged backgrounds. Frank Furmeister, 30, of Stuyvesant Heights, charged with rioting and possession of a graffiti instrument, is a freelance art director who designed ads for Joe Coffee, has worked for Pepsi, Samsung, and Glenlivet, among other high-profile brands. Who's next? Wait a minute. We'll go back to Aerosmith's Eat the Rich.
That is a terroristic threat. Eat the rich, huh? That's crass.
This latest guy, Glenlivet, look out. He studied fine arts with a concentration in photography at Florida State College in Jacksonville. And his most recent address is a stately home on Red Island Drive in the city's Tony Beacon Hills, in the Harbor neighborhood. Addy Stragovich, 20, is a student at Sarah Lawrence College from Great Neck, Long Island, according to police and her family. Before joining the protest, Stragovich was an accomplished musician, spent time performing in local theater groups and at the Seacliff Yacht Club.
I will have you. You will not get into the Seacliff Yacht Club if it's the last thing I do. I swear that over my dead body.
Claire Severin, 27, lives in Washington Heights and was charged with rioting. Appears to be a signed model with the We Speak agency, who had the ability to jet between Montreal, Quebec, and Dublin, Ireland before setting in the Big Apple to pursue a career in acting, according to her modeling profile with the same name. Edgar Surrett, a 27-year-old from Brooklyn, who summered in Europe as a kid.
Summer in Europe is so passé.
Is charged with rioting and possession of a graffiti instrument.
That is not a graffiti instrument, Your Honor. When you write checks as big as I do, you have to sign it with spray paint. How dare you? The common people use a Bic pen. I use a spray paint can.
Elliot Rucka, 20-year-old from Portland, Oregon, charged with rioting, is the son of famed comic book writers Greg Rucka and Jennifer Van Meter, according to his father's online bio. Greg penned the comic book series The Old Guard, which he then adapted for a Netflix film of the same name. And he co-created the Stumptown comic series that ABC optioned into a TV show last year. Oh, boy.
You will be hearing from our attorneys, you son of a bitch. We have never been treated so pedestrian. This is libel.
Actually, it would probably be slander, I guess. Yeah, so there you go. All the white people in the street. We should have played White Riot by The Clash. I wouldn't want to waste White Riot on this crew. The riot here is when the champagne runs out. Oh, my God. Anyway, see you guys tomorrow. We got Pain of the Morning coming on Tuesday, then the More Pain Show. As usual, two podcasts on Wednesday. I think we're going to throw two out on Wednesday. Big Wednesday podcast. Might slow things down during the late holidays after the election, though. The doctors say I'm working too hard. And my family's on my ass. About mellowing out. Making sure I stay healthy and everything. So I'm being cognizant of that. But we'll talk about that later. But some of the things are being kicked around here. We appreciate the folks on patreon.com/truepundit. Subscribestar.com/truepundit for being subscribers. And also right before I went on, turned the mic on for this show, it's a pretty good lively debate with some of the people on there. Well, people on there don't take shit. It's nice. That's how you get lively debates. But I respect what they have to say. On Twitter, if you try to have a lively debate with somebody, they're like these street urchins. They show up at your house. They dox you. These people are crazy. I'll tell you what. You really have to see this rich white kid story on the website. I'm going to show it here. The mugshots of these guys. Right? You think that these guys are all going to look like $1 million, right? Let me show you, since we're on here. Oh, I can't show it. Can I? You know what I'll do? I'll slide it in post-production. I can't show it to you right now, but in post-production, I'll slide in the photo so that you see it. I'll slide it in right here. And then you can pause it and look at it. But these guys, they all look really pissed off. And there's nothing worse than coming from a lot of money, right? Fucking craziness. Craziness. From a kid who grew up poor in poor communities, all we wanted to do was hustle. We weren't looking for handouts. We just wanted to hustle and be able to provide for our families and have things that other people didn't have. These people have everything they could ever want, and they don't want it. They want to be me when I was growing up. No, you don't fucking want to be me, because you can go home to your shitty, you know, beautiful houses, but shitty families, right? You don't want to go home to my house, right, where we're fucking heating hot dogs over open flame for dinner because dad left and mom was working all the time. And we had to do schoolwork after football practice and stuff. You get home 8, 9 o'clock at night, you got to do schoolwork. Don't have time for dinner. Heat up a hot dog. These people don't want that, believe me. They can go home to their houses and sit by the pool and plan how they're going to overthrow the government. It's insane. I'll show you the fucking mugshot of these people. But for the people that aren't subscribers, you can get it on the story, on the link of the story, or you can sign up. Be depending on video as time goes on, too. I have to remember to put this into post-production, drop this photo in. We appreciate the support out there. We really do. Goes a long way, as I said. We're not funded by millionaires and billionaires. Just you guys, just regular people here working and regular people supporting us and watching and reading us and listening to us, and we appreciate it. And I think that bleeds through. I had some fun tonight, so, and this morning when you listened to it, so I hope you have fun too. As I say at the end of every show, take care and God bless you. Hang in there.
I'm for law and order, the way that it should be. Songs about the night they spent protecting you from me. Someone called us outlaws in some old magazine. New
York City posse down like I ain't never seen. Don't y'all think it's outlaw bitches done got out of hand. What started out busted by the man. Maybe this here outlaw bitch done got out of hand. Out of hand. We were right up in our music, that's why we never saw. Cars pull up, the boys get out, and the room filled up with law. They came bounding through the back door in the middle of the song. They got me for possession of something that was gone. Don't y'all think it's outlaw bitch done got out.